There are two hymns that we sing that have to do with fountains. One of the hymns is this one, "There is a fountain filled with blood." That song continues by saying, "Filled from Emmanuel's veins." There's another song that we sing, and it's this one, "There's a fountain free." In our lesson this morning, I want us to study that second song, "There's a Fountain Free." That song was written by this woman, Mary Bridges Kennedy Slade. What a name. Ooh, how would you like to sign something with that name? Mary Slade was born in 1826. Folks, that's a long time ago. That's almost 200 years ago, is it not? She was born in River Fall, Massachusetts. You can see it maybe up there. It's a little bitty star there in Massachusetts where she was born. She was a well-educated woman. She was married to a minister. She was a teacher and a poet. She was also, for a long period of time, the editor of what is referred to as the New England Journal of Education. She died at the age of 56 in 1882. Mary Slade wrote several songs that we are familiar with. One of those is this, "Footprints of Jesus." Another song that she wrote was this one, "Who at the Door is Standing." She wrote several other songs, but most of those did not make it into our hymnals. But this morning we're going to look at this song that she wrote, "There's a Fountain Free." It is found on number 655 in our songbooks. It was written in 1876. A man by the name of Asa B. Everett put music to her lyrics. It consists of four stanzas and one chorus. We have 7 points that we're going to talk about. I know you're hungry. I know you can smell the food. But guess what? You're going to have to suffer through 7 points. Point number one, there's a fountain. Folks, the word fountain is only found in this song 3 times. It's found once in the first stanza. It is found twice in the chorus. It is also referred to as a fount in the first stanza. But the writer, Mary Slade, also refers to it in this manner, a living stream. In the third stanza, she refers to it as a living well. And then she says in the fourth stanza, a rock that's cleft. The fountain about which she is speaking is a fountain of water. And several times in the page or in the lyrics of this particular song, we hear these words, water. Notice what she says, "While the waters roll," stanza 2. "There's a living well and its waters swell," stanza 3. "That may not its pure waters share," stanza 4. Pure waters, living waters, folks, waters that provide life. Question, is water essential to every human being? Oh, absolutely. Folks, water is essential to life, is it not? In fact, we need water more than we need food in order to survive. If you are starved of water, you will die earlier than if you were starved of food. Secondly, water is also just a source of wonderful refreshment, isn't it? We used to take those kids from the children's home out into the wilderness. There was one trail we would go on, and there was a spring that was there. And it was there constantly. And you could not wait to get to that spring. Most of the time, we pumped water from stagnant pools. And it was just as warm and nasty as it could possibly be. We finally get to that spring. A living well is what it was. A spring of water flowing out. You didn't even have to do anything to filter it at all. Just stick your bottle under there, fill it up, and there'd be frost on the outside of that bottle. You drink about 3 or 4 bottles while you're standing there. It's the best water you could possibly imagine. especially on a hot trip. Notice too, water enables us to be clean, does it not? I'm glad water exists when we gather together like this, aren't you? Because we're all able to what? Be clean, aren't we? And also, water is very important when it comes to the healing processes of the body. If you get a cut, especially a bad cut, and they rush you to the hospital, the very first thing they'll do is they'll clean out that wound, won't they? And they'll take clear, clean, purified water and clean that wound numerous times, getting out all the grit, all the bacteria, anything that's in there, because they want that wound to heal as well as it can. Folks, Mary Slade, however, is not writing about a physical fountain of water. She's talking about a spiritual fountain, isn't she? In fact, it's the same one about which Jesus spoke to the woman of Samaria in John, the 4th chapter. Jesus just happened to be sitting at a well when this woman came up and he asked her for a drink, didn't he? She was stunned by his request. She's a woman, she's a sinner, she's of Samaria. Why in the world would this Jew be talking to me? And she even notes that as she speaks to him. And rather than getting into a long, lengthy conversation about the differences between Jews and Samaritans, here's what Jesus says in John 4:10. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that speaketh unto thee, saying, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Folks, that's the water about which Mary Slade is writing in that song. Just a few verses later, Jesus continues to talk to this woman of Samaria, and here's what he tells her. But whoso drinketh of the water that I give unto him shall what? Never thirst. Notice what he says. But the water that I give unto him shall be in him a well springing up unto life eternal. Folks, Mary Slade is talking about eternal waters. Waters for the spiritual man. Waters for the inner man. Waters that will enable us to live forever and ever and ever. Waters that have been provided. Secondly, note, it's a fount of love from the source above. Folks, these waters about which we speak have not been created by man. They have not been given by man. They have not been made up in the mind of man. These waters have been given from the Almighty God Himself. It is God who provides nourishment for the inner man. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, it is God who leads His people and provides them with the spiritual nourishment that they need. But notice, this fountain flows from what? This fountain flows from the love of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 that it was by God's kindness and His love that we have been saved and have been redeemed by the grace of the Almighty God. But after that, Paul writes in Titus 3, 4 and 5, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it is God who loved us, and it is God who provided the spring of water so that you and I can be saved. Notice point number 4. The Bible says that it is eternal life that they can give. Life on earth will come to an end, won't it? One of these days, every one of us we'll die. We'll draw our last breath, we'll close our eyes, and our presence here on earth will come to an end, won't it? Folks, if that's all there is to life, then life is depressing, isn't it? If that's all there is to life, to come to the end of it and die, then that is a life with absolutely no hope whatsoever. Can you imagine? You're born into this world, you work, you labor, you toil, you hurt, you're afflicted, you're sick, you struggle, you go through all kinds of problems and difficulties. Yes, there's some successes, yes, there's some happiness, but guess what? All I'm going to do is die. That is an empty life, isn't it? And yet, that's the life that most individuals in our world believe that they're living today. Folks, that's not the life that's there. The Bible says that there's a fountain whose source is from above. Notice that it flows from what? It flows from the throne of life, Miss Slade writes. She goes on to say that its waters give eternal life unto us. In our class on Thursday nights, there's a verse that we've been looking at, Galatians 1:5, and it says this, "Unto Him be glory forever and ever." The question that we ask is this, how do you define forever? There's a word that is sometimes used, and it is the word eternity. And yet, eternity in our minds has time attached to it. Isn't that something? We see eternity as this place that individuals go. He's cast out into what? Into eternity. Folks, it's hard to define forever. It's hard to define eternal life. One individual defined it as perpetuity of time. Isn't it sad that we have to even use the word time? The perpetuity of time. Folks, eternity involves no time. Another defined it as unending, forever and ever, unending life. Eons unto eons, and yet we're still using what? Time to define eternity. One man simply defined eternity as this, the opposite of time. That's a good definition. One of these days, we'll be cast into a world, into a realm where there is no time. And this spring of water is there to prepare us and to get us ready so that you and I can live forever and ever and ever. And there are numerous passages that talk about eternal life. Jesus said in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life." Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." John writing in 1 John 2, verse 25, "And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life." In that same book, 1 John 5, verse 11, he says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that life is in His Son." My friend, if you want to live forever, you have to drink of the fountain of life. Notice the next point. 'Tis for you and me. I love this. Folks, this fountain about which Miss Slade writes is not for a specific select group of people. Is it? Notice what she writes in stanza 4. "There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share." Folks, there's not a soul on the face of this earth who cannot drink of the living waters of life. If you and I are talking to somebody about this spiritual water And it doesn't matter who it is, we can tell them this. 'Tis for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Think about it, folks. Skin color doesn't matter. 'Tis for you and me. Education, it doesn't matter. It's for you and me. Socioeconomic status, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, guess what? It's for you and me. Gender, male or female, it doesn't matter. It's for you and me. It doesn't matter whether we're young, whether we're middle-aged, whether we're old, guess what? The water of life is for you and me. Notice how she ends the chorus. 'Tis a fountain open for who? For all. Wow. There's a lot of passages in the New Testament that teach us that salvation is for everyone. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said that the gospel was going to be taken unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1, verse 8. Notice this next passage spoken by Peter. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Acts 10. Verse 35. Folks, it doesn't matter who it is. If you fear God, if you will work righteousness, you'll be accepted. Notice this passage. There is neither what? There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. 1 John 2, verse 2. There is not a human being on the face of the earth who cannot be saved by the grace of God and by the living waters that God has provided. Folks, it's for all man. All mankind. Here's another wonderful thought. It's a free fountain. There's a fountain what? Free. The first stanza says this, and he bids us all what? Freely drink. Folks, what he means by that is this. You can't pay for your salvation. Salvation doesn't cost $10, $20, $30, $50, $100, $1,000 or $1,000,000. There's not a man on the face of the earth who's got enough gold that he can withdraw from his account and pay for his salvation. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, doesn't have enough money to buy his salvation. It's free, folks. I got a question for you. How about this? Who doesn't like free? It's amazing to me, isn't it, you? People go to these little craft fairs and these little women shows and all this stuff. First thing they do, get a bag. You watch them there, they get an empty bag. Watch them when they come out the other end. They can't hardly drag the bag. What you got there? Oh, this is all the free stuff. Folks, we love free, don't we? Here God is giving us the water of life. And he says, to do what? He says, freely drink. It's not going to cost you a dime to have this water. What a wonderful thought that is. Notice this next point. Thirsty soul, hear the what? Welcome call. Folks, there is a call that comes from deity, welcoming every man to come and partake of the water of life. You and I don't have to wonder, does God want us or not want us? Do we? We don't have to know whether we're going to be accepted or not accepted by God. God says what? God says, come. And we find that invitation over and over in the pages of His Word. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says in John 7, verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come and drink, he says. We read in Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him partake of the water of life freely, he says. Folks, God wants us to come and partake of this water of life. And notice this next statement. Let us what? Hasten joyfully there. That little word hasten means this. To move or act with haste. To move or act with urgency. To hurry. Every individual who learns that God has a fountain that is open, every individual who hears the voice of God saying, come, drink freely of the water of life. Folks, we ought to run just as fast as we can run to a living stream with a crystal gleam. And the question some might ask is this, why? Why do I need to run to it? Number one, because the blessings are phenomenal, aren't they? Folks, you get to live forever. That is an unbelievable blessing. Did you know that? Secondly, the offer won't last forever. Ever get those offers in the mail? You better take advantage of this. You want to know why? It's not going to last forever. And those are just gimmicks, aren't they? Folks, guess what? There's coming a day when this offer will come to an end. You pass from this life, the offer's over. If the heavens open up and our Lord comes again, the offer's over. And lastly, if you miss the opportunity to partake of the water of life, the only thing that you have looking toward for your future is eternal condemnation. Jesus says that these shall go away unto everlasting punishment. Matthew 25, verse 46. Folks, the old hymn writers, pretty good, aren't they? They're able to take some sublime thoughts and they're able to boil those thoughts down into just small, concise statements, aren't they? And yet, there are things that you and I can sing over and over and over in our lives and can imprint deep truths way, way inside our hearts. I want us to look at this song, the very first verse, just briefly. Point number one, there's a fountain. Didn't we talk about that? Folks, there's a real fountain that exists. There's a fountain what? There's a fountain free. Doesn't cost a dime. There's a fountain free. 'Tis for you and me. Doesn't matter who you are. Number two, let us haste. Oh, haste to its brink. Folks, just don't sit there and think about it. Run to that water and drink of it deeply. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above. We need to remember why it's here and where it came from, don't we? And then lastly, and he bids us all freely drink. Why would anybody turn down the fountain that's free? Why would anybody refuse to drink of a fountain that will provide them with everlasting life? Folks, if you haven't done it, only you can answer that question, can't you? It's available. God's welcoming you. He's begging with you to come and partake. And the steps are simple, aren't they? The Lord tells us to hear His truth. James 1, verse 19. He tells us to believe in Him as the Son of the living God. John 8, 24. He tells us to repent of our sins. Acts 2, verse 38. He tells us to confess the precious name of Jesus publicly before men. Matthew 10, 32. And then simply be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 22, verse 16. Those who come up from that water can now partake of a life-giving fountain that will last them forever and ever and ever. Dear Christian, what about you? Have you shunned that fountain? Have you turned yourself away from it? Do you need to come back? You've been involved in sin and iniquity. Folks, God wants you. He stands at the door just like He was, looking for that prodigal son. And when you come back, He'll run with open arms and welcome you home. You need to repent of sins and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.